Hello.
Oh my God, Queen.
The roles are reversed.
Yes.
I usually don't start them, but I'm Kaylin.
And I'm Kat.
And this is
No Baddies Left Behind. And it's the morning right now. Mm-hmm. If you cannot tell from my background and Cam's is a little bit brighter, it's actually considered the morning still. It's 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. Well, almost 12, but we're recording in the daylight, Queen. Who are we?
We're switching it up.
Mm-hmm. Sipping on some coffee because it's actually an appropriate time to drink coffee. Anyways, so today, Kaylin and I are going to be talking about 10 things we learned from our exes. I'm excited for this, Queen.
I feel like we've learned a lot.
Yes, quite a lot. And we kind of did go a little bit into this with our previous, like, Love Club. But we're saving some for you guys for more content to come. But yes, we're just learning some lessons that we've learned from these men, okay? So, you start, Queen. What's your number one? What's your first one on your list?
Okay, the first one I have is communication is different for everyone. And that it looks different for everyone because I mm-hmm. noticed throughout my relationships there were a lot of times where I felt like I was communicating the things that I wanted or the things that I expected clearly, but they weren't being received the way that I was intending for them to be received, and vice versa. And so I learned, you know, communication is really important in any relationship, whether it be romantic or platonic, but that looks different for everyone. You know, it's kind of like when you're dating someone and you're both cleaning the house, where you start cleaning the house, because that's how you were raised. You know, some people start in the bathroom, some people start in the kitchen. It's kind of like that. Everything, it's different for everyone. And so I think just being aware of the other person's communication style and the way that they get their point of across, I think that understanding that helped a lot in kind of diminishing arguments. Like, you're not getting it. You're not understanding me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Queen. I love that. That is very true. I think everyone is really different. Sometimes when you try to get something out of someone, that's just not how or who they are. It's where a lot of it is, you can't give more than you are already giving sometimes. And if you're asking from the wrong person, you know, you're not going to get what you want. And yeah. Anyways, so my number one, it's a little bit bland. Okay, we're starting off a little bit light, and it's just I really truly discovered a version of myself that I just did not know existed. When I was with my ex, I'm obviously not going to disclose who, because if you did not know, on No Baddies Left Behind we have a no name policy. Mm-hmm. Unless it's they're okay with it. So from my ex, I think that really I remember who I was back then. Obviously I was also really, really young, but I really never thought that I was going to be able to recover from my heartbreak or learn to be a mom, learn to do it alone, and really just finding out my priorities and my self-respect and really just my perspective on life. Because really having kids at a really young age, you have to shift your perspective because that's just how you have to grow up faster. But I think that's one lesson that I really learned from him that I did not think I would ever get out of being in a relationship with him. Because like I told you, Queen, I said this before, I'm glad you did not know me back then, because who I was back then, it was just a really raw, uncut, immature, my brain was still forming version of me. But yeah, after dating him, I really feel like I've learned to discover that person deep down inside of me that took some time to come out of her shell.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good. I think, you know, despite all the bad things in the relationship, you know,
yeah.
The big positive mm-hmm. is that, you know, you're a better person because of it. You're a changed person because of it.
Yes. Thank you for my, yes.
My next one is, I feel like this one kind of goes with yours. They are important, but they are not your whole world. Because I think in the past I've kind of made my life revolve around whoever it was that I was dating, and they took up all my time, you know, all my energy. They were the only person that I saw just because, you know, I liked hanging out with them, as you should if you're dating them. But I think it's important to note that, you know, you can still have a life outside of your relationship, and that's okay. You can have your own friends outside of the relationship, and that's okay. This person is not your end all be all, you know, the only thing that should matter.
Period. That is actually on my list, but I'll mention that part of mine later. But definitely. And I feel like when we're young, that's what's, we all want to be around our partner all day, mm-hmm. every day. Young love. You know what I mean? Like, I think that it's so normal, but then also I think it's when you're older. I feel like a lot of people and a lot of my friends figured this out when they graduated high school. But that's really important that you cannot spend your time together all the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I definitely do agree. And I think sometimes you get, when you're that young, you kind of really rely on them for happiness and for love and all of the pillars of life that you need to find for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like that one.
That's what my cousin's going through that right now. They just started dating, and my grandpa's like, he's so infatuated with her. Like, that's how he's spending all his time. So that's how it should be. That is how it should be.
In the beginning, it's how it is.
In the beginning, yeah.
In the beginning, yeah.
In the honeymoon phase.
Honeymoon phase.
And then it dies down, you know?
Yeah, then it gets a little lighter. It gets a little lighter. Yeah. So bear with your friends if they're going through that. But anyways, my number two is, I mentioned it a little bit, but I learned to change my perspective on life, i.e. having my kids. Like, I think before, I just thought that he turned my life into complete shit. Really, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I really thought that my life was over. My life was just in shambles, and I wasn't going to come up from where I was, and that couldn't be, you know, further from the truth, you know, because I had, and I used to really regret everything that he and I went through and, you know, how everything played out. But really, if it wasn't for that stage of my life and being able to shift that perspective too, I would have never had my kids. They're my world. They're my purpose, they're my reason, they're my why, and they ground me, you know, and they really are my purpose. And if I would have never gone through that, I would have never had them. And really, back then, I was drinking like crazy. I mean, granted, I was young and fresh in a heartbreak, but thank God I did not get a DUI. Like, in that stage of my life, it was really, really bad. Like, my parents were so worried about me. Like, what is she going to do with her life? I know she's going through it, but when do we step in? When do we put a pause on what she's going through to make her realize, where do you want your life to be? So because I went through that and I really shifted my perspective on life, I've learned to grow through what I went through and appreciate all of the hard shit. Because I'm smiling and laughing about it now, but trust me, back then, oh my God, like, really, it was dark and deep and heavy. But yeah, I've learned to change my perspective because of my ex, and I've learned to appreciate life in a different way. But yeah,
we love it. Thank you. My next one is, be firm in your opinions and what you want. Don't just be agreeable. And I think in the past, I've always been, well, I think not just relationships, but in life, I've always just kind of been a bigger people pleaser. And so whatever anybody else said went. And even if I didn't agree with it, I was just kind of like, okay, you know. But I think in my past relationships is where I really learned to put my foot down and, you know, make sure my opinions were being heard and the things that I wanted were being heard, because it's important. It's important to also put yourself first if you're, you know, in a relationship, and even just in life, it's important to take into account what you want out of it. You know what I mean? And so being firm, not letting people walk all over you.
Oh my gosh. I kind of feel like I was on the opposite end of that. I was always like, I want this, I want that, I want this right now. If it's my way or the highway. Take that as you want it. I remember wanting a partner like that just did everything that I wanted them to do. But really, that's just not how it is. I feel like it's both of, like, it, being in a relationship, it's a 50-50 thing. But, like, you give and you take. But also, you, what's the word? You compromise, mm-hmm. you know? Not everything that you want. It's just, like, you not compromise as in, like, not getting what you want, but just learning to get that out of, I don't know how to put that into words, but more of just, you can get what you want in a different way. You know, I think like that's how you compromise that out of a partner. But
yeah,
go ahead, queen, with that one. Okay. But my third one is, some things are better left unsaid. So what I mean by this is that, as an example, I used to really get into super heated arguments, or just, I used to say things that I regretted. Like when we were getting into an argument, or if we're about to get into an argument, I feel like as I'm older and more mature, if my partner doesn't want to talk about our argument right then and there, that's okay. And especially when it's getting hot, to let it pause, to just not let it get there, because you cannot take back things that you say, no matter who says what. If it has an effect on, like, even if you got into a into a fight with your ex or your current partner, if you say something really hurtful, it's traumatizing to them, and they'll always remember that, and they'll always carry that on with them. You can never they can never unhear it, they can never unfeel it. Same thing with you. You know, you wouldn't ever want someone to do that to you. And like I said before, I used to want to deal with a fight or an argument right then. I remember staying up until 4 a.m. arguing because I wanted to deal with it right then and there. And one, you're probably just gonna, they'll just agree with you. One, you know, they're just gonna say something to end the argument. So it's not really a true conversation. It's not a true, and we mentioned this before, if you can't sit on something, you have to let yourself think and feel to make a better decision and conversation. So I've just learned to, some things are better left unsaid. Keep it for the morning. Just pack it away for a little bit. And then once you're ready to talk about it, it's okay to take some time in between.
It used to be the same way. I think we used to do like don't go to sleep upset type of thing.
Yeah.
Because there is a kind of satisfaction in knowing that the next day is, you know, kind of like a fresh start. You've kind of cleared mm-hmm. the air the night before. Everything, you know, everything's good. But mm-hmm. as I get older, I feel the same way, where I think you just need that time. You need that yeah. time to really, like, think everything through. Because then half the time, the next day, I'm still like, oh, I remember now there's like all yeah. these other things yeah. that we could have talked about last night this. Too.
Yeah. I wanted to yeah. say this.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
Another one I put here, these are my next two, but they kind of go together. So I'm just going to say them together. But trust your gut. And if it feels wrong, it probably is wrong. And I just mean with, you know, the way that they act, or sometimes the things that they say, if they're taking you a little bit off guard or taking you back a little bit, or if they're doing something that doesn't sit right with you, usually your gut is right. You know what I mean? And you have to be the one person who has your back, because nobody else is in that relationship with you. Nobody else knows what goes on behind closed doors. You have to be your own advocate. And if it doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. And it's not mm-hmm. good to just push yourself into forcing it to work.
Period. Oh my gosh. I'm sure all of us can attest to ignoring flags. I've ignored flags. I'm victim to it. I will admit to the fact that I ignored red flags because I thought it was going to work out. I had hope it was going to work out, or that they were going to change later down the road. But now that I look back at that, how, was I clueless? Like, was I what? Who would have ever thought? But it's funny because my next one is actually like the same thing along the same lines, but it's learning to walk away when it's not serving you anymore. Because before, because I ignored flags, or because I wasn't, it didn't feel right, and I still gave it that chance, it was so much harder to walk away, you know? And I feel like when you let someone break your boundary or walk over you once, it'll happen a lot of times. And so if you don't set up that boundary, you're just going to get used to being walked all over. And then it's harder for you to stand up for yourself. And then all of a sudden you're at the stop where, when do I call it quits? But I learned that even though sometimes it is what I want, and even though I want to serve my heart and I don't want to think with my brain, I want to think with my heart. I learned to just walk away from a situation that I know that I can now think a little bit more clearly. Like, do I see myself with this person in 5 years? Do I, not even five, like forever. Like, do I see them? Is it going to work out? And if you are shaky on that, walk away, even though, because sometimes you'll be like, oh, no, they're going to grow into their shoes. Babe, no, they absolutely fucking will not. Okay, like if you're already doubting this now, that doubt will never go away later. So learning to just walk away when you know it doesn't serve you is something that I've learned to do, even though it is so hard sometimes to ignore your heart. Mm-hmm. So.
And I feel like we had that conversation a lot too. Mm-hmm. In my last breakup where, mm-hmm. you know, nobody ever really talks about being the one to break up with someone. It's very much, you know, very popularized to talk about being the one who was broken up with, being the one who got your heart broken. But it's just as hard to walk away, especially if there wasn't something that, you know, was a big factor in the breakup as far as like somebody's actions or, you know, somebody saying something. It's more just because that's what you think is best for you. And I think that, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, sometimes it's hard for me to grow into the person that I want to become when I'm in a relationship. And it's so much better for me to do that alone. And to do that alone, you have to walk away from the relationship. And even though, you know, you still have strong feelings for them, you still love them, it's difficult, but it's better for you. It's what's best for you to leave that situation. Mm-hmm. And I also think back to the red flags really quickly.
Yeah.
If you see one, because I used to think they were just like a one-off. Oh, that was weird, but I'm sure mm-hmm. I'm just reading too much into it because I don't know mm-hmm. them very well. Let me just tell you, it is not a one-off. Usually, if you see the red flag, that will be a thing that you will see throughout the entire relationship.
It'll manifest in different ways if it's just one.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Better to cut that early. Early.
But, you know, it is hard, though, because sometimes it's like, well, what if it gets better, right? But what if, because I feel like that's what a lot of us get stuck on. It's like, you don't know. It's like, it's hypothetical, like almost. So like, oh, well, if you're going to do this, you're probably not going to be a better partner in 5 years. So it is a little hard because it's like, why not just give it a go? And then once it isn't working out, then that's when we call it quits. But one, you saw it from the beginning. And two, what wasted time? Mm-hmm. Wasted fucking time if you knew from the beginning. But again, you didn't know how it was going to pan out. But at the same time, your body, and we talked about this before, that your body, I feel like your mind and your heart will compensate for each other. That if you know that you are ignoring your brain, your body's going to be like, oh, I'm nervous. Oh, I'm like, why am I feeling anxious? Why does this not feel right? It's because you're ignoring what you know is wrong because you want to listen to your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're always going to compensate for one another. You know, mm-hmm. so I know that it's hard to walk away, but learn and really learn how to accept those flags for what the fuck they are.
I feel like as women, we tend to do this, and we're also expected to do this, but play devil's advocate for them and give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, maybe they will change. Maybe this will be a one-time thing. And I feel like we're all kind of pushed into that thought process of like giving chance after chance after chance. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you're seeing the red flags right away and you ignore them, and a couple months in, you're still seeing them, nothing has changed, there's not a very high chance that that will change anytime soon in the future. That's just kind mm-hmm. of down to who they are now. And you have to be okay with, are you settling for this person and all their red flags, or mm-hmm. are you going to go out and find what you deserve to have and how you deserve to be treated.
Mm-hmm. And really, if you accept those flags, they're going to think it's okay. That kind of behavior is okay. And then it just builds on itself. Mm-hmm. It really does. If it's not one flag, we said, if it's not one flag, it's another one. But my next one is, oh, I learned that I am worthy and deserving of love. Really, before I really was gaslit and so manipulated and so deep in the dark, deep pit below rock bottom, bitch. I really believed everything that he said. Like, it's so crazy how I feel like I do want to talk about love bombing or in another episode, because that's, or trauma bonding, because that's a whole topic and episode on its own. But I will say that in that kind of relationship, they will manipulate you into thinking that they are really all that you have. Even if I disrespect you, you're going to stay. So I'm going to tell, even though like they fucking hate you, a lot of the time, men, they will not leave you. It's going to, even though they don't want to be with you, they will not say that they don't want to be with you, but they will show you they don't want to be with you. But the thing is, I stayed so willingly that he just, I mean, kicked me while I was down, saying just such mean, hurtful things where I would just, I hated myself. I hated, you know, one that really hurt. I didn't want to like get into the weeds of this, but I remember one that was such a pivotal moment for me was when he like shamed my body when I had his kids. And so, but really in when it happened in that moment, I was like, are you stupid? I didn't fully believe it, but I really at the same time was like, are you stupid? Like, I gave birth to both of your kids. Like, don't shame my body. But at the end of the day, like I said before, words always will do a number. They will always hurt you. Even if they really didn't hurt you in the moment, you're always going to remember it. And I remember just hating myself. I hated where I was in life. He really let me hate myself, and he really let me learn, or let me think that I didn't deserve better, or that I didn't deserve love. So by the time that I started dating again, oh my God, like I was like, are my standards so below bare minimum, you know? But I really did learn that I'm deserving of love and that I'm worthy of having that. Because sometimes when someone breaks your boundaries so much and so often, time and time again, you do believe that you're not worthy of anything. But that's so far from the truth. But again, you're just so gaslit and so deep into a toxic relationship that you, and it, that takes time for that to happen, which I want to add. But yeah, I learned that now I'm deserving of it, because I feel like it's also really dangerous when people get into relationships when they don't think that they deserve love or the right kind or the love that they truly do want, because they just think that, well, who's going to love me? I should accept this for what it is, because this is all I'm going to get. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Did you hear those words? Those are the words that you believed? Time out. I'm calling the timeout, bitch. Stop and think. But yeah, that's what I learned.
That can also lead to a lot of issues within the relationship, because mm-hmm. those thoughts cause a lot of insecurities. And
yeah.
in mm-hmm. relationships, a lot of it comes down to trust. And so when you have insecurities like that, you're constantly worried about
yeah.
yourself and the other person, you know? And so mm-hmm. it makes it mm-hmm. difficult and not really enjoyable. You know, not know. You can't it just enjoy the relationship and enjoy
that's when
the
your
other
own
person.
Thoughts start eating at your brain. Mm-hmm. And then that's when yeah. you can't be alone. You have to only be with them, because you're just mm-hmm. alone. You're scared of what you're going to be thinking when you're alone. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. And that's a
my next one kind of goes with yours. And I feel like we've talked about this before. You've talked about this before, but never dull who you are to please somebody else. Mm-hmm. The person that you're with should be proud to be with you. You know, they mm-hmm. should be encouraging you to be who you are, personality wise, character wise. Mm-hmm. You know, they should be kind of right up there with you. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I feel like the analogy, when we talk about this, the analogy that you have always given me is, if we're out at a bar and we're with, you know, our significant others or whatever, if I want to get up and dance on the table, I'll get up and dance on the table, mm-hmm. and maybe my significant other will do it with me, or they'll just be cheering me on. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But they shouldn't yeah. sit there and be upset and be angry. Yeah, yeah, that's what I want to do. You know what I mean? And so I think in the past, it's kind of what I have had, and it mm-hmm. does ruin these moments that these little moments that you kind of find really special, or that you act a certain way in because that's what makes you happy. It kind of ruins that to be with somebody yeah. who doesn't accept that quirkiness of mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And so I think just, understanding, I think it just goes back to really putting yourself first and knowing what you want and how you want to be treated, and not mm-hmm. accepting anything less than that.
Mm-hmm. Period. I need to find some. Oh, that's something that I've learned now, too, that if he doesn't, do not make me feel guilty for who I am. Don't, that's just something that is so normalized. Mm-hmm. Like, no, he's just trying to make me be better. No, he's just shaming you for your spunky personality. Don't let anybody dim your light. It's like,
if he's pushing me in school, that's making me be better. If he's pushing mm-hmm. me in my career, that's making me be better. But if he's sitting there trying to change certain aspects of my personality, that's not making me better. That's mm-mm. just making me into the type of woman he wants me mm-hmm. to be. That's mm-hmm. not making me better. That's not changing anything to improve myself.
Mm-mm. But, Queen, I wrote this down a while ago, so let me talk on it. The rule of IER. Does he give you the IER? Because he should never be he makes me happy. He makes me, he makes my world. He makes me laugh. He's my happiness. He is like how I love myself. No. Does he give you the IER, which is, does he make you happier? Does he give your life, does he make it lighter? That's ER, but just the IER. No one, your partner should add to you, not take from you. And they also shouldn't be all that it is. Does he make me happier? Does he make me prettier? Does he make me, because someone can be pretty, but sometimes I've seen it before where I had a friend, old friend. He dated this girl and she's so drop dead gorgeous. But her style prior to him was different because she really didn't date any guys like my friend. And he knows how to dress, he knows how to carry himself. And he didn't change the way that she dressed because, I think it's different from when you want to dress a certain way versus when someone forces you to dress a certain way. But she just elevated when she dated him. She just took her style, went from it just went up. And I was like, oh, okay, they're not dating anymore. But now she is just a baddie. She is a fucking baddie. And I remember before, her style was so different than what it is now, but it just made her into this way glowier version of herself, which is why I'm like, does he give you the IER? And that's something that you should always, that should be what's the word? That's a must. He should never be the only reason why you're happy. He adds to my life, but he doesn't make my life, But yeah, so my next one is, it kind of doesn't make sense, but what kind of picture I want to paint for my kids is something that I've learned from my ex. And in the way that I've really learned to be that, as a parent, you're truly a role model for your kids. You're a role model for your kids. And sometimes it's so, and I've seen a lot of parents do it, and it is, they don't know any better sometimes. But some parents kind of, when they're going through toxic relationships themselves, they're trying to figure out what it is that they want to. But sometimes, what kind of picture are you painting for your child? I'm not speaking on, some parents, they do learn from it, and sometimes it already happened. So what can you do except for learning from your mistakes? But now that I'm given this chance, I really want to be able to paint a picture for my kids on how to be loved. I want to marry and be with somebody who my son wants to be and how my daughter wants to be loved, or how a man should love her. I think that's something that has really shaped me, where before I was super curious, what if we do work out? What if this can work out? But you should never feed into your own curiosity at the stake of your own children, or at the stake, bitch. Is that what it is? No. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let me word that. Don't feed into your curiosity at the sake of your children. We know. I give up.
For the sake of your kids.
Yes, for the sake of your kids. But I remember I saw a clip from, I don't know if you watch Dolores, bitch. There are these two besties on TikTok. They're really, and on YouTube, like Alessi, something like that. They're two besties, and she went on a podcast. One of them did. She went on a podcast, and she said that my parents were really toxic, and they would constantly go back and forth of being together one month, not together for a couple of months. And she was like, I felt abandoned. And I was like, oh, are they going to make up this month? And sometimes when people who are very toxic get into relationships and they have kids and then they get married, that habit is still there. So when they're having their kids and they get married, their kids are suffering for the, like, on their kids are suffering on the behalf of their parents because of their toxic ways. So just painting that picture for my kids is something that I really have been living by, especially with love. Sorry, that went on for a long one because I was just trying to figure out how to say it. Damn, Jesus Christ.
That was funny. That was a good one.
Thank you.
That was a good one. My next one is understanding love languages and understanding your own love language. Mm. I think love languages can change depending on who you're with, mm-hmm. and how you have been treated or the way that you are being treated. Because I think previously my love language used to be physical touch, and it's just not that anymore. It's more like quality time, words of affirmation kind of thing. But I think understanding your own love language and how you communicate that, and then understanding the other person's love language and how they communicate that, or how they expect to receive, you know, you trying to share their love language with them, I think is really important.
No, I like that one a lot. I had a thought in my brain, but I lost it. But I think that goes back into, like, what we were talking to, like, your other point, and that sometimes in how people communicate, are you going to go to somebody who's quiet when you want to be all, like, loud and funky and all out of element? No. Sometimes when you're different love language is for different people, and sometimes it's okay that it's, and you have to understand where you come from. Mm-hmm. Because someone who's physical touch, you think they're going to be with somebody who doesn't like physical touch at all? Be for real, you know? Mm-hmm. But no, I totally get that.
And I feel like but you know what? Like, too. You don't like physical touch, and no. We give you hugs.
I've been getting better about that, but
and Arlene too, but she touches our hair and stuff still.
I know she be too touchy. That girl is too touchy. But
she,
we all
she,
need
like,
that
doesn't like
sometimes.
To be touched, but she is very touchy.
Yeah, no, but we all need that person sometimes. So yeah. Sometimes it's either we outgrow it, we learn from it, or sometimes another partner brings it out of us. You know, but mm-hmm. anyway, so my next one is 100-100. Okay, so I'm not going to get into the whole thing of like men and women being 50-50, whatever, but I've learned in my most recent relationship that, you know, it's not 50-50. A relationship is not 50-50. I truly am wholeheartedly that it's 100-100. I'm giving you my all, I'm giving you my everything. And it's like, I got you because I love you. And I think that I really learned that it's not, I feel like before when I was young, I thought that love was only about receiving and how can this person serve me? Which yes, that's very true. Like what can you bring to the table? But it's also about learning to give, learning, like, I feel like you should love to love and love giving love and seeing the reaction that you get out of the people that you love. Like an example, my sister was watching my kids when I had work. And I was getting myself a latte and I got her favorite latte without her knowing, just because, you know, like I know that she likes it. She's doing me a favor and coffee makes everybody happy. I mean, most of us happy, but it's just because I do. And I'm not going to do it just to get something in return. I'm doing it because I love that person. And that's what I've really learned a lot of from being with my last ex.
I think ideally it should be 100-100, but I think it's also important to be able to have that communication with them mm-hmm. where if you're like, oh, I'm only able to give like 20 today, you know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then they can pick up the 80, you know what I mean? And so I feel mm-hmm. like that goes along with like compromising and compromising on how much you can like mentally give, physically give in that day, because you can't expect somebody to be 100% there 100% of the time. It's just, you know, everyone goes through their ups and downs of emotions, or, you know, whatever's going on at their job or just in their life. And so I think also being able to have that compromise of, I can pick up the slack when you aren't feeling it, but I think at the end of the day it should be, you know, 100 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes,
also too, it's like, you know, to give, and when you can't give 100 one day and they pick that up, it's because you know that you would do that for them and that they would, mm-hmm, do it for you. You know, it's like a...
Yeah. But I will say, I think that sometimes can be easily taken advantage of. So I feel like it's, mm-hmm, a little bit tricky. It's something that you have to be careful of, because what if they're, now it's every day, okay, I'm only giving 20, I can only give 20. And now it's every day, you know, you're putting in more effort into the relationship. It's going to get tiring for you.
It's the boundary thing.
Yeah.
It's the boundary thing. You can only let that, you can only do it so often, okay? Because, mm-hmm, now you're just only giving 20. What about the, mm-hmm, 80? But the next is how to truly love myself and how to be in a relationship but maintaining independence, which I feel like you talked about a little bit. And before, like we said, you know, we were young, we just want to be with that other person all the time, but your own individual sanctuary is huge. It's a must. It's something that you need. And sometimes, like, you don't always need to be texting your partner. That's kind of, if you don't live together, okay, I see that. But even then, I'm like, when I'm out with my friends, you can wait. You know where I am. I let you know. You don't need to harp on me all the time, you know. But no, I think maintaining independence while being with another person is one, really how I feel like relationships last, is because you are okay with, because how are you going to get tired of each other when you're not with each other all the time?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what just,
I think it's also important to keep that independence, because it is kind of what helps make you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm,
it keeps that really individuality and uniqueness of who you are to your, totally, core, rather than being so wrapped up in, you know, now you just become this relationship. That's what people know you for. That's what people know you as. You're now seen as a pair. You know what I mean? I think, yeah, keeping that alone time, or maybe it's like, for example, if you have hobbies that you're really into and you keep that as something that you do just for you every now and then, I think, mm-hmm, that's really important to keeping true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And also it's like, you know what? My ex, he had his friends, but I had my friends. You know, I feel like, again, even then, it's like having your own circle outside of a circle is, you have your own space out of, you know, being you. You're still you, but, you know, you're, mm-hmm, with another group of people. But no, I think it's really important, because sometimes, like, your boyfriend's friends become your friends, and then who are your friends? And then when, if it doesn't work out, who are your friends? So it's, mm-hmm, always important to have your own end of the stick.
I had that. That happened to me.
Oh.
My boyfriend's friends became all my friends. Then when we broke up, there were even some friends who were my friends first, mm-hmm, who I'd been friends with for years. And then when we broke up, they all congregated to him. And then I didn't have anyone. Yeah. It's important to keep them, some of them, separate. You can mix them, mm-hmm, every now and then, but it's better to not have it be like a consistent thing. I think it is healthy to have space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So that's, sure, kind of like my next one, where I just said you can live a life outside of your relationship. So I think that really goes along with, you know, everything we just talked about keeping things for you.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping that independence while you're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's important. But my next one, this one is something that I was like, damn, when I mentioned before, I was like, my standards are below bare minimum, bitch. But really, bare minimum is really the bare minimum. I remember before, I mean, granted, I went from someone like, my first ex was like something like, he didn't give me shit. Also, we were really young, going into our 20s, you know, teenagers, like, growing up. But, like, my last ex, like, he was just such a gift giver. Like, he was, his words of affirmation, gift giving, acts of service, like, that's just his love language. And I really learned that he, like, the bare minimum was something I wasn't even getting. you know, he would take me out randomly or give me things just because he thought about me, you know, like just little things like that. I didn't know, like, I didn't know that, that's something that I love. You know, that's a love language of mine, you know, like it just being, knowing that we weren't talking all day, but you were thinking about me during your day. And that makes up for texting all day, every day, every second of every day.
It's a reassurance.
Yeah, it is. And it's, and that really showed me like, oh, I didn't know that I didn't know that existed, you know, like he just, and even like when we were just like laying in bed, like I'm not a physical, like I said, I'm not a physical touch person, but I remember like, you know how they always like the thumb thing when like you're just holding hands, like he would just show me all those things like that where I was really like, oh my God, where was my version of love? Like, was I even loved, you know, like in the, from my first relationship, like, oh my gosh, like just, but I tried not to, you know, applaud a fish for swimming because that's how I learned, you know what I mean? Like, don't applaud a fish for swimming sometimes, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, that's how I learned that concept, was because he just really showed me a way of love that I didn't have. And I feel like that's when I learned, I was like, no, opening my door is not enough. Flowers one day is not enough. Like, you need to, you know, it's more than that. But yeah.
I like that one. Mm-hmm. I think we all need to raise our bar
a little bit. It's hard to figure out where it is though sometimes. Okay. Because, you know, that's how, learning your standards is hard when you're not dating a lot. Yeah. You know, so it's, yeah. Just learning.
My last one is trust is key. And trust, mm-hmm. before I used to just think trust was like being loyal. Like trust as in just not cheating on me. You know what I mean? But I've since learned that trust applies in everything, physically, mentally, emotionally. There is trust in everything, and trust can be broken in every one of those ways. And so I think, you know, building a strong foundation in trusting your partner is really important, but also staying firm in your boundaries when that trust is broken in whatever way, you know what I mean? Because it's not, trust isn't, doesn't just apply to cheating. It goes so much further than that.
Loyalty and like, I'm really a ride or die when it comes to like friends, family, relationships. Like if you jump, I jump. And really before, I remember like even some arguments, like if you're going to go, I feel like the loyalty and trusting is if like, let's say you're getting into an argument with a family member, then your partner goes behind your back and talks to a family member or, you know, is talking about you. That is not loyalty. You didn't, it's not cheating, but also like, are you on my team? Like, that's where I kind of feel like loyalty and trust come into play, is that like, we're one team. So you're either playing for my team or you're not, you know? So don't do crazy shit, sideways shit. That would make me question that. But yeah, I love that one. There's not just loyalty or trust and, you know, cheating, but our duo.
Can and help also me. Trust in your, in yourself too.
And also not in your relationship, you know?
Yeah.
Like how much you really do ride for each other, and like how, like, I know that he has me like that. So, you know, even when it's, but yeah, not just cheating, but as our team goes. Okay. But my last one is, I was like, oh shit, I forgot about that one. But no, is effective communication. I think because I lacked so much communication from an ex, I've learned so many things that like effective communication with my partner and then family, friends, and my kids, but also even when sometimes someone doesn't want to talk to you, and we talked about that a little bit before, not everyone, even though you feel like that someone owes you something, they don't. And sometimes even though you want to talk to them so badly, it's like, no. It's like sometimes no communication is better, and sometimes even the most, and no communication, no response is a response. And also just learning to take things for how it is that's you communicating how much you really care about the situation at hand. And so because I learned all those things, I feel like I've learned a little bit more on how to be more mature in communicating and how really important it truly is.
We kind of came full circle. I started with communication and you ended with communication.
I love that. Oh my God, look at us go. We literally just blindly made these lists and we were like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
So, yes, I love this for us. This
is kind of good for being on the fly.
I know, right? And I kind of just felt like we let it like purge. Mm-hmm. But I think that we were able to let out a good, you know, amount of information. And I feel like this is very serving. And I always say this after every episode. I hope that anybody listening, if you're struggling, you know, with relationships, self-love, self-respect, I hope this served you. And I hope you found something out of this, because we come from, you know, a place of not judgment, but wisdom. Like, we've gone through this, okay? Like, we're not talking out of our ass. Like, this is really from experience.
Yeah. We are not perfect people. We've been there. We've definitely have our fair share of embarrassing definitely stories. Done that. Yeah. Crazy things, you know. And I think there's a kind of satisfaction in knowing that now we've come to a point where we have so much growth to where we can look back on these things and
and we can talk best on it.
To give, you know, words of wisdom and advice from things that we've done wrong or things that we've experienced to hopefully help somebody else not have to go through that too. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. But yes, I think that's all for today's episode. But I hope, again, you guys found something out of this. You're taking away something from this. This is really fun to record and film with Kaylin. So yes, we'll talk to you guys. Oh, and next week, we have a guest coming. The next episode soon, we have a guest coming with a really crazy story. So keep on a lookout for that shit. So yes, I hope you enjoy this episode as much as we did.
We are on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube,
handles. Spotify,
Apple. All No Baddies Left Behind.
Yes, No Baddies Left Behind. Okay, so stay on the loop so you don't get left behind. Okay, so follow us on everything. But yes, okay, queen. But is that everything she had to say to her? Am I forgetting anything? Okay, period. Well, we'll talk to you guys on our next episode. Bye.
Bye.